It's now time for Team Talk on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. 101.7 The Team is your home for New Mexico United, the Dallas Cowboys, LA Dodgers, and much more. Now, Team Talk on 101.7 The Team.
You're looking at the Thomas & Mack Center in Las Vegas, game number 3 of the 2024 Mountain West Basketball Championships. One spot remains in the quarterfinals. Who will it be? The 6-seed New Mexico or the number 11-seed Air Force Falcons? Winner of this game gets 3-seed Boise State tomorrow night. And JT Toppin wants to get ready for the Broncos.
2 of 3 from 3 over the last 3 games. And it's not the most aesthetically pleasing jump shot, but it doesn't have to be if it's effective.
Don't count out the Rebels to go and win 3 games in 3 days and get an automatic bid.
Oh!
True! Washington on the run!
One of the best college basketball conferences in the country is not done yet tonight. From Las Vegas, final quarterfinal in the Mountain West.
And Donovan Dent in the backcourt right now. New Mexico. Isaac Mushila is in along with Toppin. Baker again, and he has that one. He can shoot it.
He's knocked down 3 triples now on the night.
House the fastest. Mashburn and Dent right behind him. Joseph almost loses it. Baker, who's hit some big threes in this one. See what I mean? Dent. House. Got it. How good is this? The defense of New Mexico. Toppin with the steal. House with a bucket. Blow him a kiss, Jalen. The Lobos are rolling.
That is absolutely right. That was the Lobos rolling through the Mountain West tournament, and now they're on to the big dance. It'll happen on Friday at 1 o'clock. We are here this afternoon till 5:30 with Team Talk. I'm Joe O'Neill. That is Sam Hauser. Later on, we're going to go to TD Garden in Boston. Dame and Giannis and the Bucks are taking on the Celtics. We'll have that for you tonight at 5:30, and then full shows tomorrow and Friday, getting you everything you need to know about the NCAA tournament, Sam. But it actually, you threw this at me. You're like, you know, does the tournament actually start on Thursday, or do you think it starts here with these first 4 games? And I said, well, because those first 4 games, 2 of those involve Mountain West Conference teams, I'm like, the tournament starts today. That was yesterday. And the Colorado State Rams, impressive. Virginia, not so impressive. They got it off and running. And tonight, another Mountain West team in action against the University of Colorado, Boise State facing the Buffs.
Boise State in action tonight. And in about 10 minutes, you're going to hear from one of the selection committee members who did an interview with our friend Jay Tust from KTVB up in Boise. We're going to play part of that because he asked the selection committee member, who also happens to be the Big Sky Conference commissioner, why Boise State ended up in the play-in round instead of jumping right to the field of 64. So you're going to hear that in about 10 minutes, but we got to talk about whatever this was, something that was supposed to be a basketball game that happened last night for a proud program.
Very proud.
Like Virginia.
Proud coach, proud head coach.
This almost felt like Arnold Palmer's last major from the OJ documentary from the ESPN 30 for 30, just watching an old Arnold Palmer just trudge through a golf course. I mean, Virginia, yeah, this is a team that won a national championship a few years ago, but for the last 5 years, one and done in the tournament. It started from the very first possession last night where they take the shot clock all the way down. They end up doing this all night. I mean, we know what Virginia is, and Virginia knows what it is, and there's not a lot of margin for error when you're the slowest team in Division I basketball, but that looked like a team that had never played together before.
Yeah, we were previewing the game, and I said, hey, the fact that Colorado State had played Air Force at the end of the year, you know, a couple of games before there to end the season. Kind of, to some degree, gets you ready for playing Virginia. The difference is that Virginia has much better players than Air Force. After watching that game last night, I'm not so sure. And had Virginia not lost, and I know you're going to get to their difficulty as of late, but if had Virginia not lost a couple years ago as a number one seed, this has to rank as one of the most embarrassing performances in Virginia Cavalier history, Sam.
Yeah, this comes from CBS Sports. Virginia now is lost in the opening round for the last 5 years. Of course, they lose to the number 16 seed UMBC. They go on to win the national championship the next year, but for the last five, one and done in the first round and losing to double-digit seeds. They lose to UMBC in 2018, who was a 16, first 16 seed ever beat a one. They go to win it all next year, the following year. No tournament in 2020 because of COVID. 21, they lose to a 13 seed Ohio Bobcats team. Last year, they lose to a 13 seed Furman team and now losing to Colorado State. And it's not like Colorado State put on this offensive juggernaut showing. I mean,
no.
Nico Medved is a great defensive-minded coach, and those guys play great defense. This one, the way it started out, it was almost a carryover from what we saw from Colorado State in the Mountain West semifinal game against the Lobos, where, hey, Joel Scott, can you just go win us this game, please? Because nobody else is going to have a night tonight. That's what the semifinal was. Joel Scott was the only legitimate threat for the Lobos, and you're going to take that every night. So this game comes around, and they keep giving it right back to Joel Scott. Once they started moving the ball around and guys started making shots, then it became this runaway because Virginia went the final 9-plus minutes of the first half without a point. It was a case of just a non-competitive basketball game, so it's hard to judge Colorado State too much, but they do have some stuff to clean up because now they got to go play Texas on Thursday.
They do, and that game is in Charlotte,
North Carolina.
Okay, here's something that I meant to mention as we were previewing this game yesterday. At the end of the first half against the Lobos, Isaiah Stevens, one of the top 25 players in the history of the Mountain West, he was named that. He was called for a foul kind of right off after he had made a turnover, and he went, you know, there was still only 30 seconds to go or so in the half, and he did have two fouls, but, you know, instead of going to the bench, he went right to the locker room, and he didn't look like himself at all. He comes out in the second half, and he has a brace on that ankle, but, you know, he scores only 5 points in 35 minutes. Now, granted, they didn't need much more of that because Virginia as a team only scored 14 points total in the first half. But it's when you're talking about, you know, trying to clean some things up and some concerns for the Rams as they move forward to playing the University of Texas, like Isaiah Stevens has got to be one of those concerns.
And I think if I was a Colorado State fan, I think the way that I would try to rationalize that in my own head is, we've seen so many games over the entire Isaiah Stevens career, especially in the last 2 years, when it's a close game and it's on the line, that man empties the tank every single night. So if I'm a Colorado State fan, I'm saying to myself, okay, good. Actually, leave something in the tank because we're going to need it for him to play some hero ball against Texas.
But they didn't leave anything in the tank in terms of his minutes played. He played 35 minutes. I mean, in terms of his production, yeah, they could do without it, but he played 35 minutes. So
that's why I'm saying, as a Colorado State fan, I'm rationalizing this. It's not logical. What you're saying is 100% right. That's the only way that I would be able to make myself feel any better about it as a CSU fan is, well, we didn't need it, so hopefully he'll be able to go against Texas. They started, I mean, the difference was they made some shots. They couldn't hit anything. I mean, it wasn't quite as Virginia bad, but they couldn't hit anything in the Thomas and Mack against the Lobos, and they started to hit some threes at least a little bit, but you look at that defense, and they're going to need that, certainly against Texas.
For a team that was like in the bracketology for the last 2.5 months in Colorado State,
you saw why.
There hasn't been that many pure nights for them. By far, their best night in the last month was in the Mountain West Tournament quarterfinal game against Nevada.
Yeah.
You know, who had high hopes, who had just come into that week ranked in the top 25, and like, you could pull the numbers from that. Colorado State shot over 50% from the field, and I think over 50% from behind the three-point line. You're absolutely right. The next night against New Mexico, let's credit the defense that was, like, not very good. And then, you know, I don't know how to judge this. You said that the point total in the first half for Virginia was the lowest amount since Abilene Christian, which was a 15 seed against Kentucky. All right, that's like rarefied air when you're talking about these sort of things. So, like, that was weird game, you know, no doubt about it. Like, second half, Colorado State outscored Virginia 40-28, which would be like normal for Virginia. But just like Santa Clara, just like St. Mary's sometimes, when you're playing games, a lot of games in the 60s, and Virginia has been like held to, I think, in the 50s, like five times,
yeah,
you're going to run into dangers like they saw last night. And that's when, you know, the faithful at Virginia are sometimes second guessing this whole Virginia system and Tony Bennett ball and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because that was something that came up on the postgame show and Inside College Basketball last night from college basketball analyst Chris Walker, kind of posing that question: does this game have to mark the end of this version of Virginia basketball?
Four of the last times that they played the NCAA tournament, they have lost in the first round of double-digit seeds.
Yep. Mm.
So there's a point, there's a question of whether Virginia basketball, the way they play, maybe it's outdated.
Yep. Yeah.
Maybe it's outdated.
No question.
You know?
No question.
Well, again, you're talking about a team, they only had four turnovers. They could not score. And I'm looking at this box score. The numbers always tell a story for me.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado State was 4-for-15 for 3 and still beat them by 20.
Yep.
And you know what it comes down to? And sometimes it's just tough for people to ignore the noise. Everyone, the energy was against them, Adam. Everyone said they did not belong. And you know what they went and did? Play like they did not belong. Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
So I don't know if you saw the Colorado State fan wearing the shirt that
Iowa football, yes.
Yeah, like Virginia basketball,
Iowa football. Yes.
Is Iowa football. I thought that was pretty clever.
But it's also been that way for a long time now. There was just an extra spotlight on it because this was almost a dramatization. This was almost cartoonish level for Virginia basketball.
Okay. So I'm going to play devil's advocate here. So if this is so antiquated and outdated, we know that they've lost to a double-digit seed 4 out of the last 5 years. Is
correct.
That correct? Okay. And then I say, well, what did they do that other year they didn't lose in the first round to a double-digit seed?
They won
and
the Natty.
And the answer is they won the Natty and against Texas Tech, and which was like a great game. But, like, yeah, it does seem that it is trending, though, in the direction that former Lobo coach, by the way, Chris Walker, there talking on CBS Sports Network. Did you not know that, Sam? Yes. An assistant to Coach Alford or Coach Neal for like a short period of time, and then, you know, bounced around, was an assistant at, I think, TCU for a long time there. But Chris Walker, we referenced him. So what about Coach Tony Bennett? What did he have to say after the loss, Sam?
There's a hard way to go out. There's no question about that. But I'm proud of these guys for getting us to this point. It is a hard tournament to qualify, and you want to be playing your best when you get into it. And obviously, we did not do that. I thought our defense unraveled. And even when we were in front, their physicality bothered us. They just sort of would lower their shoulder and move our guys, and they scored right at the paint. And it just kind of, there is a feeling of, you felt that before probably a few times. When teams have taken out Reese and Isaac for us, it's been very difficult for us. We don't score. You know, Jordan got a post bucket or two, but we don't have a lot of other options scoring-wise.
And by the way, somebody who's really going to be able to give us some context on this in about a half hour, we're going to talk to John Blau. He covers the Clemson men's basketball team. He is en route to Memphis. He should be there by the time we give him a call. Obviously, being in the ACC, he's seen Virginia. He can tell us how abnormal this was. But also, just, we're going to talk about this Lobo men's basketball game with Clemson as well. So be listening for that later.
Yeah, no question. Unfortunately, though, for Virginia, it hasn't been as unusual this season as it had been, you know, for many, many seasons in the past. Okay, so this won't be the first team that is being scrutinized as maybe not should have getting into the NCAA tournament. And Wally Szczerbiak didn't waste any time in talking about how Virginia should have never gotten in the first place.
This performance matters by Virginia. I mean, Mountain West completely blew them off the floor. Mountain West, we've been saying, has been completely underseeded. And the way you perform in this tournament, it puts the committee on notice. They made a mistake putting Virginia into the NCAA tournament. Every bracketologist was saying it. They go out and play like this. It's unwatchable basketball the way they played today on national TV. St. John's is sitting there like, we've won 6 out of 7. We're scoring 90 points a game, playing great basketball down the stretch in the Big East. Seton Hall beat Marquette and UConn. They're sitting at home or in the NIT. They should be in this NCAA tournament. Pitt should be in this NCAA tournament.
Or Oklahoma.
Also,
Oklahoma,
the committee made a big mistake by putting this team in the NCAA tournament this year. And it's nothing against Tony Bennett. He's a great national championship winning coach. But his team did not belong on this floor.
All right, and he kind of worked in some Mountain West leverage there too, Sam, because they've been, you know, beating the drum for the Mountain West, and he kind of worked that in there, kind of, I told you so, underseeded Mountain West teams. All right, so the final score in that game was 67-42, Colorado State over Virginia, and Sam, I don't want to talk about that game anymore. We had to cover it because, like, we're on to Wednesday night, and Boise State is hosting Colorado. Boise State, a slight favorite, just like Colorado State was, so we get another Mountain West team tonight.
And this one's actually probably even a little bit more interesting, because even going into last night, that other team that has orange in it, they just kind of are what they are. But Colorado really came on as of late, made it to the Pac-12 championship game. Boise State one and done in the tournament. So as far as even matchups go, and one that I'd be a little bit nervous about, I mean, you're playing a hot-looking Colorado team right now, but I found this particularly interesting as we're talking about this game. Jay Tust from KTVB in Boise, we had him on before the Lobos game up in Boise. He got some time with one of the selection committee members. He got some time to talk with Tom Wiskrill, who's on the selection committee. He's also the commissioner of the Big Sky Conference, asking how in the world Boise State ended up in this play-in round.
This is a team that, you know, 22-10 in a Mountain West conference that, you know, many perceived to be loaded this year. They swept a 5 seed in San Diego State. They beat St. Mary's. How did Boise State wind up in Dayton, Ohio in the first four?
Yeah, I think, you know, from the Boise State standpoint, they did have a good quad one wins. The majority of them were against their own conference opponents. And so it's not that hurts them, but it's hard to have that help them because they're all being taken into account against each other. Whereas the non-conference games, yeah, the St. Mary's win helps them, but, you know, there's some losses in there to Clemson and Washington State, if I remember correctly, that kind of hurt them then. You know, it's not like they started in at the, they didn't start in as a 6 seed and then get moved down to Dayton. Where they entered and who they're compared against, there's a lot of factors that go into that. And then there's 12 people in the room, and you need to have, you know, 9 of 12 votes to move up. But one vote doesn't carry the day.
So again, that kind of validates this notion that came to be come Selection Sunday about the Lobos having to win the Mountain West tournament. When you hear that rationale right there, yeah, it's great if you have quad one wins, but if all your quad one wins are against teams within your conference, that it's not going to help you that much. Now, first off, I don't buy that. That seems like a load of baloney, because that seems like a Mountain West thing and not something that we would put on power conferences. That's
great,
a conversation
point
for another time.
But nice take,
it
Sammy.
At least explains how we got to that point of the Lobos having to sneak in there and win the Mountain West to get into this thing. Because, yeah, the Lobos ended up with 5 quad one wins, and they wouldn't have got extra bonus points for those.
All right, well, we'll look forward to it tonight. Boise State trying to advance to the 64, round of 64. If they win their game, they are going to face...
It's the Florida Gators.
Florida Gators in
Indianapolis. Yes.
Indianapolis. So they keep these guys regional, so if Boise State does get by, they'll be playing Friday night in Indianapolis against the Gators. All right, going to take a quick break. He's Sam Hauser. I'm Joe O'Neill, Team Talk. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk basketball. We're going to move to women's basketball. The head coach for the Lobo women's basketball team, Mike Bradbury, will join us next. Team Talk, ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.